All right, folks, welcome back again to the MMR podcast. My name is Marvin Smith, and I got a special guest back, Kenesha Green. Welcome back to the podcast.
Hi, Marvin. Thank you for having me back. It's going to be fun.
Not a problem. Not a problem. Definitely a pleasure to have you back. I just want to say our last episode did good. The views on that are still going up. So, and I think you got maybe a few fans from that or a few haters.
Depends. I had a few haters from that, you know, because people don't like to hear the truth, you know. But what did I say? The truth hurts and the lies heal. So I'm used to that, though. So,
but, you know, hopefully your haters will turn into fans and kind of just see it from your point of view.
She needed the balance, though. I want all things.
Yeah.
And you need the balance.
Yeah. So let's get into this episode. I want to say this year started out very interesting. It started out, I think the whole thing started from the Cat Williams interview.
Wow.
Where he said all things will come to light in 2024. And we're seeing a lot of things come to light. But before we jump into that, I just want to kind of just get into the whole aspect of the culture and how we're represented on TV, media, and things like that. I'm just going to say it, like, the whole culture is trash. Growing up listening to hip hop, and then as I'm older now, you just knowing a lot of that stuff is just garbage, and it's just not making us look good, to be honest. Yeah.
Before I give my thought, give me 1 second. I'm gonna close my door because I have cats and they just don't know how to not, like, stay out of my room. So give me a second, okay?
All right, no problem.
Okay. Is it gonna drive me crazy going in and out of my room? God, I gotta change my locks, to be honest. All right. Now, it's not a real podcast if you don't got getting up in and out of frame, okay? So, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So your thoughts, you said that the community is trash. Yeah.
Not the community. I just feel like the whole culture in itself is trash. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love seeing female rappers. I think they're good eye candy for the hip hop industry, but they're not really talking about anything, you know? They're not representing anything positive. So we could definitely say that about male rappers also.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I just feel like the whole industry now, or the whole hip-hop culture and black culture now is going down the drain, and we don't have any good positive representation within the media. And I just feel like the media is just taking that and just kind of running with it.
Mm-hmm.
What's your thoughts on that?
The media is just taking that and running with it. I mean, well, the media reports from what's current, what's trendy right now. You know, I do have to ask a question, like, where is it all coming from and where it started? You know, there's clearly a huge demand for the Sexy Reds and for the Megan Thee Stallions. And, you know, Nikki's an OG. But I do see her competing these days with the younger girls. Nothing's wrong with that, but her lyricism and her words are reflective of the Sexy Reds. Like, you know, because she used to sing some real stuff back in the day, but now it's more kind of more vulgar language and things like that. But there is a huge supply for that. I mean, we can sit here and complain about it all we want, but someone is fueling this market. And there's going to be more Sexy Reds. There's going to be more. Who's a new one? Ice Spice. You know.
Yeah,
a lot of Ice Spice. Half naked. A lot of them are singing about their peas. A lot of them is doing this. Like, you know, I blame Cardi B, to be honest with you, but that's neither here or there. But because if you go back in time, when we had, because when rapping first started, it was a male dominated genre, and it still is kind of in a way, right?
Kind of.
Okay, but it was a male dominated genre, and there were some great positive rappers singing great things, and there's still great rappers today singing positivity, but they're just not highlighted. And I do think that is also by design as well. So then you fast forward and then you have like the era of like the NWAs and like, you know, Tupac, East Coast, West Coast, whatever. But a lot of them were also still singing about killing, drugs, gangs. I'll give it to Tupac that he was trying his best to do a little bit more positivity in his words. Yeah. But for the most part, that's what we know rap as. Rap has never been like, oh my God, yeah, rap, I love that rap. It's such positive music. Like, no one says that. You know what I mean? So it was like, we have to go back in time and ask ourselves, how did we get here? And also, who signed these people? And also, if you know rap is trash, why are you still participating in it? Like, why? Like, it's like, we know the answer to this, but we're still questioning, why is it so bad? It's trash. Well, why are y'all still signing up for this stuff? There's always a white man in a suit fueling this.
Yeah.
But that contract looked good. And y'all never had that much money before. But fuck the community because it's my money.
Exactly. Exactly.
So we're never going to get anywhere because we are for self. And I'm fully aware of that. And that's just what it is. There's always going to be the new sex. I'm looking for the new sexy blue. That's going to be the next one. So I don't even know at this point.
I mean, looking at YouTube, there's a lot of them that's coming up. You know, sexy blue or the next sexy red or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But just to jump back into your whole back in time when I think that positive rap currently maybe two rappers that are on the positive aspect. But I think one got in trouble now with his wife. She might be divorcing him.
Who is that? I'm not too sure.
Chance the Rapper. I don't want to say positive, but he doesn't talk about the same things like what the other rappers talk about.
Okay.
Okay. But I think his positive streak has been broken. Mm-hmm. Again, drinking, you're on vacation. You get caught up in Jamaica, and hey, hopefully he works it out, you know, kind of just get his act together. But I think when it comes to like the whole positive or, you know, for the white folks that love rap, everybody, I think they want the Will Smith rap to come back.
He's a good one.
But that's not going to come back anytime soon. Because he's going through his troubles.
Well, he was at Coachella. He was at Coachella performing. He was rapping on stage.
I think he did what, Men in Black or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I just feel like that era is gone, and any rapper that's coming out now, they gotta be somewhat controversial. They gotta be somewhat out there, and that's just kind of just bringing it down for everybody, and there's no positive representation anymore.
I agree with that, and it's crazy too because I was never into rap, like I never was, but I started listening to rap music lately, like specifically Nicki Minaj. I just learned her Moment for Life verse, that which is a great song. Like it's not negative. It's really an uplifting song. So I think that's kind of where that means like, oh, I'm interested to learn more. Then I started listening to, who was the next rapper that I said I was going to listen to? I don't know. And then I was trying to learn the Kendrick Lamar diss verse because it was really like, really, really good. Uh-huh. So there's some rap music that gets me hype because it is like a very braggadocious type of like music and it makes it feel like, yeah, yeah, yeah. But I don't participate or don't like include myself with the whole more vulgar of it. Just I like that other one that makes you talk your ish just a little bit. And then you want to go back to your normal music.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. It's just, you know, the fact that we're adults now. So, mm-hmm. you know, we know that the real world exists. So when we're at a party or something, you know, that song that everybody likes comes on, mm-hmm. you gotta get into it.
Yeah.
But it's just at the end of the day, once the party's over, you know, you're stepping back into the real world. So it is what it is. But I wanted to jump into the Candace Owens interview with Joe Budden. I haven't seen it yet, but when Candace Owens went to the Breakfast Club, did you get a chance to look at it? Or
I watched about half of it, and that was because I was also doing something else. I didn't get a chance to finish the whole thing. But I'm 100% yeah. aware of Candace Owens. If you're on social media or if you're like looking in the political spaces even a little bit, you're gonna hear about her. So yeah, I got a good grasp of what the conversation was about.
Yeah. Very good interview. I kind of like Candace's point of view. Again, somebody who grew up within the hip hop culture, mm-hmm. but I think she, during one of the interviews, during the Breakfast Club interview, she talked about her and her friend when she was younger. I believe they were in Miami. They went to a party with Wyclef. And she was basically the one telling her friends, like, hey, let's get out of here. Let's go back home or whatever. And her friend was basically saying, she's going to stay. She's going to try to meet as many rappers as possible. So fast track 10 years, Candace is where she is. But her friend right now is currently waiting tables at some restaurant. So what she was trying to say from the interview, from my point of view, from what I understand, is that you could be within a culture, but when you have to look at it from a outside point of view, like, you're still an adult, you got to worry about what's going to come down, what's going to happen within the next 10 years. If you don't know where you're going or where you are, you kind of have to kind of stay on a straight path and leave the rappers alone. The entertainment industry is the entertainment industry, but you gotta, you know, gotta have to stay on the straight and narrow from what I understand. But what she was saying is just, hey, she was there at some point in time, but she had to make a decision to say, hey, this is not the life I want to live. You know, 10 years down the line, she is where she is now, but her friend is waiting tables at a, I think, a restaurant or something. Don't remember the name. And during the Joe Budden interview, she was just talking about how, you know, Lizzo has a thong on and she was twerking her ass on the some NBA game, which I caught the clip of. And again, it's just not good representation. It's just you're there twerking in front of little kids. You're doing whatever, just not putting that positive spin on who you are. So I just don't get that.
So my thought on, like, Candace Owens overall, or just like those two points that she made?
Those two points that she made.
I mean, yeah. I don't even think it's just rap, you know? It could just be anything that's very low vibrational. It could be drugs. It could be just procrastination. It could be anything that's not productive, you know? It really does come down to choices, because even if you love rap, you like to hang out in those types of spaces that may not be the best space, but you're still level-headed to know, this is just temporary. This is just a little hobby I do on the side. Once I go home, I get back to my adult life, get back to business, and then I can make better choices. Because how do you stay in one area, like, you like rappers or you like that lifestyle, but then you chose not to progress. But I thought rappers are rich anyway, so why wouldn't you want to even go and chase the bag? You know, like, I don't know. It's just like, the moment you're in that space, and it's like, especially if you got a big booty, like, you're bound to, like, get a check. That's what I heard.
Yeah.
I heard. But no, yeah. It really does come down to choices. No matter where, yeah. And I say this all the time, like, every single human being on planet Earth, it comes down to the choices you make, how you live your life, your mindset. That's it. Accountability.
Yeah.
That's a very popular word these days, and I feel like a lot of people really don't know what it is. People will be like, I said I take accountability, but then you go and do it again. That's not accountability.
Exactly.
Is you exactly. See that you did something wrong, and you make sure you don't do it again, and you're trying to do something better the next time. That's the meaning of accountability. Like, it's really weird. I hate when people use this type of words. This is like, there's that. And then for Lizzo, Lizzo's a very weird character. I don't know. Like, she's a beautiful woman, extremely, extremely talented, you know, but I feel like she seeks out this criticism that she gets, and then she complains about it online, because there's no way, you know your size, and you know, like, your size is not preferable in the entertainment world. But they do have this movement these days. They do have this movement these days for, like, promoting cats. promoting for lack of a better word, the right word, promoting heaviness is what I'm looking for. Just not how it's weird. They're promoting plus size. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But if we're gonna be honest, a lot of plus size people really wanna be small. They wanna be healthy. There's no plus size and healthy. That don't go together. And a lot of them would prefer to not be. But just for right now, we're just going to say plus size is beautiful and everyone is beautiful. But it's like, you put yourself out there and you kind of made a caricature of yourself, and you're twerking and you're doing this. And you're naked on Instagram, and your handle is called Lizzo Be Eating. And it's like, you're asking for it. It's like, I've never met someone who says, I hate attention, but then do everything that garners attention. So in a way, you can't be mad at people when they criticize you. It just don't work like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I hope she makes better choices. Here we go again. Back to the word choices. I hope she makes better choices moving forward.
And accountability. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't follow her, but I didn't know that was her handle, Lizzo Be Eating.
Yeah, and you're
all right, so,
it's like, come on, man. You're done. You asked for a scrutiny. Like, come on. And you're black.
Yeah.
You're a black woman. Like, you just have all the whammies against you right now. Can you be for real?
Yeah. I know. But I think definitely some good points that Candace Owen brought up. It's just, hey, the industry is just trash right now. And I think a lot of people who I follow are basically, they're pretty much, they're within our age range. They're successful, you know, they're minorities, but they're starting to look at it from a point of view as like, the industry is hip hop culture in itself is just trash. We've been lied to so many times. We see the successes, but behind the scenes, it's pretty much just all garbage and smoke and mirrors, and nothing is being portrayed in a positive light.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I wanted to go into the whole aspect of, like, when it comes to our media, we don't have media, we just have gossip. And there's so many gossip channels out there on YouTube, and they're all talking about the same thing. Who basically cheated on who's got the tea. I don't know what else, what are other catchwords they use, smoke. And it's just, and I think when we put all of that out there on a such a big platform, it's like other people that's not of our culture see it, and they just kind of run with it. And that's just all bringing it down, in my opinion.
Uh-huh.
What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, they see it and then they run with it. But I feel like they also know that's the crazy part. I feel like they know our culture. I feel like the secret is, like, the other folks know our culture, and they might know it a lot better than we do, because for some reason they always seem to make a lot of money off of us still. Like, that is a winning mindset. That is smart. So there's no way they're gonna sit there and act clueless, like, oh my god, what, who is Lil Nas X? Like, there's no way, right? I just feel like they put on their rose colored glasses and then they pretend, right? Because when it's ready to throw insults and things like that, they know exactly where to ride it from. So it's just like, I don't know, man. I don't buy into all that, because they help fuel it. Like I said, every record company, every label is all owned by a white man.
Yeah,
majority of them are, because I do think, like, Young Money, I think it's still owned by Blackness. Birdman, I think he owns it. I could be wrong these days, because it's really hard to tell. Maybe, like, it's like a Nick Cannon situation. We'd be thinking it's owned by a black person, but in real life, it's someone higher up. So at this point, they're all owned by white people. And there's nothing wrong with that, though. I want to make that very clear. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with different races coming together and working together, but it's like, what are they perpetuating? What are they promoting? I think it's very dangerous. If you want to work together in different colors of our races, it needs to be for the greater good. And if you're sitting there in a suit reaping all the money, but you're pumping out this toxicity, then it's like, what is the point? We're not working together. I think you're on a mission to portray people that look like me in a negative light and make your people more rich again. But then again, people who look like me also have to understand, like, be fully aware to know that and not make those decisions, not continue to serve this. It really does come down to us at the end of the day. Like, I'm never going to blame, I don't care if anybody want to get mad at me, I'm never going to blame the other race. And I think I'm thinking, like, I saw that Candace Owens sometimes. Like, I'm never going to blame them, because we are not babies. We are fully capable, functioning, thinking adults. We know right from wrong.
Exactly.
So it's like, who are we blaming?
Yeah. I totally agree. I mean, jumping back to the Nick Cannon, when I heard that, I personally always, for some reason, I thought he owned the show.
We all did. I think we all got duped.
Yeah, we all got duped, and it's just like, wow, I thought he owned it.
Yeah.
Like, but it goes to show you, it's just like, I don't know. It's so easy to kind of just start your own, but it's just the fact that you're willing to just continue to work under somebody else instead of kind of putting the work in.
Yeah, it's comfortable. It's comfortability. And I also think it's because, and I hate to say that, like, a lot of us don't like each other. And a lot of us feel like we can't work well with each other. And a lot of us don't trust each other. And a lot of us are also racist towards each other. Yes, we are. We can be racist to our own people. And I think that's what it comes down to. Because I do remember a situation with Eddie Murphy back in the day when he was in his prime and going into the 90s. I think Robert Townsend, if you know that actor, he does have his own, like, production company, I mean, but it's small, you know what I mean? He's married to light skin Aunt Viv, if I'm correct. He's married to light skin Aunt Viv. Last name is Reed. No, well, her last name is Reed, but I couldn't wait. Am I getting the right one? The right black actor, correct? Or wait, I think that is, no, I'm getting them mixed up. That is Ray from Sister, I think, is married to light skin Aunt Viv. I don't know who Robert Townsend is married to, but let's just continue with Robert Townsend. He wanted to bring together a bunch of black actors who have money to create production that they can all own. And I think Eddie Murphy was one of the people that they wanted to go to, but Eddie Murphy was just like, he ain't about to invest in no, like, N-word production, because there's no money there. There's no money to be made there. And that was the mindset.
Wow.
That's a lot of the mindset these days. It's everywhere, because how do we have that many? We have a lot of black billionaires and we have a lot of black millionaires. There's absolutely no reason why we still don't have our own banks and hospitals and schools and this and that. And then we get online and we complain about it. So it's just like, y'all like chaos. Just admit y'all like chaos and y'all like living under this quote unquote white supremacy that we keep talking about. Just say that, and I think we can all live happily ever after if people just admit that.
I think we don't, we have more black millionaires than there are actually black billionaires.
Yeah, why did you only have 7 black billionaires?
Yeah. And speaking of like black billionaires, but now the one with my same last name is now being, I think, accused of being like a Fed snitch or something
Robert
like that.
Robert Smith, his name is the Ted guy.
Yeah.
Huh? Is that guy?
Yeah.
That one that's
no, he's not
a porn star.
He's more banking than anything else, but somebody said something again. I just feel like YouTube is the only good source of news out there, and that's crazy. Yeah, so that is crazy. But yeah, another YouTuber kind of exposed him, saying, so a white man gave him the money to start his company, but he end up doing something to sending his white partner to jail. He got some kind of deal out of it. And so now that whole culture of like earn your leisure, I guess he's trying to get into it. So according to the YouTuber, so he could start snitching on people and sending people away to jail. But yeah, that's what you know, the YouTube streets are saying. And I don't know. No. From what I heard, I did look into that, and that is somewhat true, where he kind of sent his partner went to jail. I don't know, allegedly, if there was some kind of deal going on, but yeah, that's what they're saying.
We're talking about the black billionaire, right? The black tech billionaire.
He's not in tech. He's just, I think his company just invests in a lot of tech companies.
What's his name? Am I saying the right guy?
Yeah, you're saying the right
okay,
guy.
Okay, you don't want to say his name?
No, I don't want to say his name.
Why? Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly. We might run into each other someday, so allegedly.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So, according to what they're saying on the streets, is that that's what it is, and I don't know. I mean, we don't have anybody that we could believe in, and it's crazy. We've got more millionaires than there are billionaires. And yeah, man, it's just unbelievable nowadays.
Yeah, I did not hear about that, because I don't really follow him like that. I just know of him, but no, I don't know anything about this scandal. Is it something that's currently happening, or is something someone's trying to expose?
I think it's something somebody's trying to expose, because he was on that show Earn Your Leisure.
Okay.
But Earn Your Leisure did some kind of like Invest Fest or something like that. They had, you know, Diddy or whoever, a lot of people.
No.
But so the YouTuber kind of dug deeper into who he is and kind of figured out that he did say somebody, you know, white gave him the money to start his firm.
Mm-hmm.
But something happened where his white partner end up going to jail. And I don't know if there was some kind of deal made or whatever, but he got out of it and his partner went to jail.
Yeah, but you don't hear that often. You don't hear the white one going to jail. You don't hear
the
black one going to jail.
Yeah, but they do. They do go to jail. They do rob from each other and stuff like that. But you just don't hear about it so much, you know?
Yeah.
We hear about the issues we have, but you just don't hear about that side.
Sure.
But yeah, it's crazy. It's just we don't have that ideal representation anymore. I think just recently OJ passed away, and then the situation going on with Bill Cosby situation going on with R. Kelly. And it's just like, damn, no positivity anymore.
I mean, it's going to be hard to, it would be a great thing. Like, in theory, it's a great thing to live in a world that's all filled with positivity. But I don't think that's realistic. I don't think it ever will be. There has to be a balance, I guess, of evil, unfortunately, and for good, so that we can appreciate good more and try to, like, you know, destroy, kill Thanos. But yeah, there's never just going to be an all-around positive. It's just never going to happen. It's not going to exist. And I know we're not just talking about, like, we're talking about, like, entertainment space, but just, like, in like, everyday life, in real life, not going to happen. All areas.
Definitely. We don't have black media. We just have black gossip. And it's just crazy how many gossip blogs out there and how many, quote unquote, tea channels that are popping up every day.
And all these relationship channels, too, which needs to all be burnt to the ground.
Which one is that?
All these relationship channels that keep coming up. New ones, young ones, old ones, whatever, they all need to be burnt to the ground as well. Everyone needs to get off the internet if they're not talking about anything that's worthy, that can help.
So what, they pop up for a few months in a relationship and then, a few months down the line, they break up?
No, all these podcasts talking about relationships, that's basically what all, like, these black podcasts he's talking about. Now, just going back to your point, the Earn Your Leisure, are you saying now they're kind of turning into a gossip channel because of that tea that they're trying to expose?
No. So what Earn Your Leisure is, I guess, is trying to be is kind of like a financial
I know about them.
Type of podcast. But there's another guy who's a certified financial planner. Basically, his show is called Pocket Watching with JT. So what he did is basically he's trying to expose a lot of these guys as, like, liars, pretty much, you know. And so
Earn Your Leisure guys.
So that whole Invest Fest wasn't really, it was just smoke and mirrors. But what he's trying to say is that having Mr. Smith there, Mr. Smith is trying to get into that network and find out as much as he can and start snitching on people. So he's saying that whole bubble is more of they're going to start sending people to jail when they you know, get as much information as possible.
I have no comment.
No comment. But again, he's not the only one who's saying that. He's just, again, I've never met them. I've heard of them, but again, I don't think we roll in the same circles, so I would never kind of be anywhere near that, in my opinion.
So got it. Yeah, I'm still trying to, like, dabble into tattoo. So let me mind my business. That's why I stay home and drink my water and mind my business. I play with my cat.
That's what you got to do right now. Yeah. Just stay home, stay out the streets, mind your business. You don't want to get caught up in nothing.
Don't send me no text message. I don't want to go nowhere. Maybe to the gym and that's it. The gym and back.
That's it. But, speaking about the whole Invest Fest, so our guy who's in trouble right now, you know, Diddy, aka the Diddler, that's what they're calling him Twitter, the Diddler,
No Diddy, that's what they say too, right? No Diddy,
yeah.
Is that a pause? No Diddy.
Pause. No Diddy.
Yeah.
He was there and then he broke down his deal with Diageo. So again, we're going back to the whole industry is pretty much just filled with lies, because again, when I saw that he came out with his own brand of alcohol, again, the impression on me was he owned it. I guess he bought into the company and basically he owned the Ciroc brand, but the Ciroc brand is owned by a company called Diageo. So going back into it, he basically broke down that he asked for equity and they basically turned around and told him, like, no, you're basically an IG model that we pay to promote the brand. So, yeah, he was a basic glorified IG model. So all those years of basically saying, hey, this is my drink, you know, Ciroc, buy it. He's promoting it. It was basically everywhere. But again, he was just basically a glorified IG model. And when he went to the company to try and get equity in the company, they basically turned around and told him no.
So how long into being a IG baddie for Ciroc, or what's the name of the brand?
The company is called Diageo.
But he also has Ciroc. Are they the same, from the same company?
They're from the same company. So the company that does the manufacturing, they have multiple brands of alcohol. But the main brand that Diddy was promoting is called Ciroc. So, again, backtrack so many years, we thought that Ciroc was just its own company, and Diddy bought it. But Diageo is actually a company out in England, and they're, I don't want to say manufacturer, but simplify it. they created the Ciroc brand. But they have other brands of alcohol and, you know, bourbon, stuff like that.
I see. Well, yeah, I guess I was asking, like, how many years in was he a brand ambassador, I guess, before he decided to try and buy any type of stake or equity in it? Like, has he been trying for years, or did he just now all of a sudden, after he was done diddling, to try to buy some equity?
I think it came down to, I don't know, maybe his contract as a IG model was up. So that's when he went into saying, hey, I was pretty much a glorified IG model for you for years. And I want to buy into the company and get equity. And they basically turned around and told him no. Your services is no longer needed. We made, you know, millions off of Ciroc. And
it had to be billions. It wasn't billions.
Yeah, it definitely, it had to be billions, because I remember during a certain time, you know, what, 2018, 2020, things like that, everybody was talking about Ciroc. Everybody was drinking Ciroc. You saw it everywhere.
It was in my house.
Yeah, it was definitely in my house too. So again, you know, we were lied to, and Diddy was nothing but a IG model, pretty much. So,
and I'm not surprised. It's just another tale of, you know, Black Economics 101. I mean, what else do you want us to say about that? It's another McCannon. It's like, they're never gonna learn, unfortunately. I pray one day, you know. And I also like question, like, the whole, like, LeBron James, his school. I'm hoping it really is him that owns it. Any celebrity that is a millionaire and that is famous, talking about the guy businesses, I question them at this point, because I don't trust you. You need more people, and y'all are too easily impressionable. Y'all are too easy to buy out. Y'all are too easy fooled by the glitz and the glam and just want to be show off, just for the image, the smoke and mirrors, like you mentioned. Like, it's never for the long haul. It's never for the long run for the future. No one is thinking long term. They're just thinking about now, making that money and creating an image so that they could be glorified. I hate that.
Yeah,
I really hate that. So,
but Yeah, I think it's just other cultures knowing how to make money off of us. And I think that is one of the scariest things out there. Because, again, I don't know, allegedly, I don't know that with LeBron James school, it's actually a charter school owned by a school district.
Sure.
I think they're just using him as the face of it. But if we go back to what's her name? Oprah. We haven't heard about her school in Africa. What's going on with that? So
no, I've heard some comments saying like it's still open and it's still thriving and the girls graduated. I don't know. I haven't heard about like no one has come out to do an interview. No one has to like where are they now type of stuff. You know, but no, they're much older now. So yeah, we don't know. That was a little bit scary too.
But it just goes back to like, yeah, man, it's just put a black celebrity on something and they come out and say, oh yeah, I own this. But at the end of the day, they're just glorified IG models. They're pushing a product that's owned by somebody else.
That's real.
And to answer your question is just anything a celebrity owns, I just look at it with like a side eye, like, how do you own this? Again, we know you don't make that much, so. But yeah, that I think that was one of the biggest wool over our eyes with Diddy and his issues and his dealing with Diageo. But in my opinion, this is what he should have done. The money he got from Diageo for promoting Ciroc, he should have took that money, go to somebody, some financing guy, buy stocks, whatever. Took that money, put it to the side, and just slowly start buying up Diageo behind the scenes. I've heard it's been done. You buy it through a LLC, offshore company, whatever. And then you buy up enough to where you become the majority owner, silent partner or whatever, or just come out right and say, hey, I've been buying up shares on the back end and I want to be on the board. I want to own a piece of it, because if you own enough of it, you can be a silent owner, silent partner, or what do they call it? Minority owner. So that's what he should have done, in my opinion.
Well, clearly he was using his money for other things.
And basically jumping into his current scenario right now. That whole, did you see that whole raid on YouTube?
Who didn't? Like, I saw it on the Shade Room. I keep it on the Shade Room, so I saw that.
Yeah.
But there's been so much speculation. So, like, this whole thing has just been kind of crazy. They're talking about he's the what did they say? He is the like the guinea pig or something like that. Like they're using him to do all of this stuff to cover up. Well, he's a part of it too, part of the problem, to cover up some of the real people who are like Diddy, but like 10 times worse. People who he's in affiliation with. Other real higher ups who are also participating in the same things.
Yeah. I did hear that too. But to be honest, I guess I could see the point for the raid, but in my personal opinion, it wasn't called for, because the whole suit with Cassie and then this new producer, those are all civil cases. Like, you don't need to roll up with like military vehicles, full body armor, just to break into a raid a music mogul's mansion or whatever. And then from that, with all the issues, he sold his stake in Revolt, which he didn't own, by the way. again, the lies we were told. We were told he owns Revolt. He actually doesn't. How he got into it, again, politics and that whole affirmative action, that's how he got a piece of it. But
really?
We'll get into that another day.
Yep.
But again, he had to sell his stake in Revolt, get off the board, and I don't know what's gonna come of him. You know, he's still out in I think Miami.
He's
walking around,
chilling.
Huh?
He's hanging out,
just chilling.
Yeah, this whole thing, yep. Like I said, is just weird. But I don't know, man. I don't think he's definitely not going down alone. I highly doubt that he's just gonna sit there and make and allow everyone to just ridicule him and him not dragging other few powerful people down with him, like yeah. Jay-Z and all them other folks.
It's gonna be interesting to see what comes of it. But it's just going back to the lies, man. The lies that's been put in front of our face, and we just kind of ate it up and just ran with it. And I don't know. I'm just kind of tired of it now.
Well, we're older now, so you know we do. Understand it better, but like the younger kids look
yeah.
up. But maybe it's like a good and a bad, because at the same time we kind of do need to see, like you always discuss about representation, even if the foundation that's holding up that representation was wonky or questionable, you know, at least
yeah.
the idea of what it looks like for someone Black to be successful will be imprinted on some of these younger kids' mind. Then hopefully if you teach them and guide them the right way, they can try to achieve that in a more commendable way, respectable way. So in a way, it's a good and a bad, you know?
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I can, that's the only way I can kind of spin it to add a little bit of just like positivity to it. So.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think the younger generation there, I don't want to say none of them are going to be, they're going to have a positive, there's no positivity out there for them. I don't want to say that. I just feel like there's no source for that positivity to shine through, because majority of the young kids right now, they're pretty much all over TikTok. There's another app called, I think it's called Bego. I jumped on that app the other day. I was just like, no, this is not for me. No, thank you. It's just like the type of nonsense that's out there. It's just like there's no platform for us, for the younger generation, to see what true positivity looks like, what true, you know, Black success, Black excellence looks like. It's pretty much the only source, decent source out there. It's YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's just scary.
Yeah. And then you have to filter YouTube too, you know,
exactly
the source. So, but at the end of the day, it does start from the home. So that's why it is very important
exactly.
to have a very strong and positive figure, whether it's a man or a woman there. Hopefully it's
yeah.
both male and female, but it's nothing more, because if not, they're gonna go out in the street and learn it out there instead. And even if they have two parents, it don't matter. Like sometimes they do go out there and still be influenced by the streets. That's why I love Jamaican parents, and I'm Jamaican. Like, we just don't yeah. play that stuff. Like I do commend my friend. She's a single mom. She put herself through nursing school. Her father chose to not be there. She did everything in her power to try to create some type of amicable relationship, but he just refuses to do that. But she raised a boy and a girl, and you know, boys, they always say women can't raise boys, but he's one of the most respectful young men. He plays instruments, he's smart. Like, she did such a wonderful job with him. But I feel like it's that Jamaican culture, man. Like, we don't do that whole Western American thing, like, boom, like, put our foot down on these kids so he ain't going out there. He doesn't have to go learning out there. So, no, yeah. It can work if it's just one parent, but we need that guidance. They need that guidance.
Exactly. The Black family. Definitely, just definitely being Jamaican, we don't grow up in that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't grow up like that. I definitely love being Jamaican because I just be looking at all this shit that's going down and be like, nah, never in a Jamaican household. That shit would not fly.
But they're getting out of hand, though. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I be going to Jamaica sometimes, but I'm like, these kids are kind of getting a little Americanized. What the hell's going on?
Yeah.
Why are your ass whooping? Stupid.
I don't know. But speaking about good positivity, you know, 50 definitely started his own movie studio. Good props to him.
Is there a white figure behind him? But you might want to research that before we congratulate this man.
from my investigation, I mean, yeah, you gotta have white people with you, yes.
Yeah, that's but fun.
I think it's just him, but definitely, he basically let me see if I could explain it correctly. So the studio he bought, it's I think it's called Silver Cup. It's an old, they did a lot of the, Expendables. I think they did a lot of, the action movies and stuff like that. It was a soundstage, but it was owned by, I can't remember the state. It was owned by the actual state. So what he did or what the state did is just basically saying, hey, the studio's kind of getting run down. It's getting old. We don't have the budget to maintain it. So what we're going to do is kind of subtract it out to whoever could afford it. So, he bought it full outright, or maybe leased the studio, whatever. But from my understanding, he actually owns it.
Okay.
And the state that it's in is kind of giving him the help he needs to kind of just, you know, open it, maintain it and things like that. So that's a good positivity on his note.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not like he's online preaching about the goodness of his heart. 50 Cent, you know, he's petty.
Yeah, he's definitely petty. Because again, that whole Diddy drama, aka Diddler. It's crazy. I just don't get how females in the industry, they don't go find somebody else. They stay within the industry and they got all that baggage with them. So basically what it is just 50's ex, one of his ex-wives or his baby mama, is allegedly on paperwork a sex worker for Diddy. That's basically,
I heard about that.
Yeah. That's basically what's,
I think that's her name. Huh? The Asian looking lady. Yeah, heard about that one. I'm not surprised. They pass women around, you know, so I'm not surprised.
So yeah, and according to the paperwork, she's one of Diddy's, you know, sex workers or whatever, allegedly. And that's where I think some kind of drama happened, and that's where Puff 50 is trying to drag 50, and that's where 50 is trying to drag Puffy, and he's posting all this stuff about him on social media. So it's like, again, you know, shit don't happen like that in the Jamaican household. So I can't it's just funny sometimes. Like, I just gotta look at it, laugh, and be like, damn,
yeah,
I'm glad I'm not a part of it. So
same too, because, you know, going back to like when you first introduced me and being in the acting world and everything like that, like, I'm not a big actor. I'm kind of your local actress that just wanted a working actor. And sometimes I look at this, like, looking back in my life, and I'm like, there was a time that I was like, oh, I'm gonna be like Halle Berry, or who are the people I was looking up to, or Taraji P's, and, you know, like those type of black actresses, Megan, But then when you really find out, like, as you grow up, you really find out, like, what goes on and what you have to do sometimes. And even as a local actor, or an independent actor, I too have experienced, like, males and just weird, grimy shit in proposition from people that are in power at an independent level. So imagine me experiencing that, and I'm a nobody in this field. And they up there with like the Jadas and the Vivica Fox, there you go, because they all escaped me just now. Those type of actresses. And sometimes, like, I question, like, what did they go through? What did they have to go through? You know, because everyone is saying there's no way you can become a somebody who had to have done something. And I want to pray and give a little bit of, just kind of give a little bit of, like, grace by saying maybe they got there the right way. But I don't know. The way everyone is talking, it seems like you kind of have to go through that ritual to get there.
I mean, I've heard that about the entertainment field, but still, it's less like, there's a difference between, you know, having a meeting and having drinks with somebody to kind of discuss a role, then there's the difference of going to somebody's hotel room at 2 o'clock in the morning. There's a big difference between that. You go into somebody's hotel room at 2 o'clock in the morning, you're not there to talk about a script.
And you know what they want.
You exactly. You know what they want and what's going to go down.
But at the same
time, and then
I don't mean to cut you off, but like at the same time though, well, people don't have anything. And then those people that are in power tell you to come back to their hotel room. They use that weapon of power, because that's a weapon, to convince you or coerce you into going. So though sometimes you want to do the right thing, you're like, I need this, and then you go and do it. And they do use that power. They can spread rumors. They can do anything to try to ruin your life, right? So then there's also that fact as well as to why they go there at 2 o'clock in the morning.
All right. So definitely agree. But if you're going there at 2 o'clock in the morning, you can't complain about what the outcome is going to be.
Right. You made your bed.
You know.
You got to lay.
Exactly. You made your bed. So definitely lay in it. But I don't know. It's just like, everybody's got to make their choice on what they need to do to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, you just got to live with it, to be honest.
Yeah.
If you're going to go to somebody's hotel room at 2 o'clock in the morning, just don't complain about what the outcome
is. Crazy.
You know,
but so, you say, if you do go to their hotel room and then you leave like an hour or two later and nothing happened, that's like, that could work too.
That could work too.
Yeah. So, you know, you can still get some work done and leave. Get your contract and leave without nothing happening. Yeah. It's all about choices, man.
That's it. It's all about choices.
Yep.
But yeah, it's definitely an interesting year so far. I mean, that Cat Williams quote is I think it's summing up the 2024.
Yep.
All things will come to light in 2024.
He really set this year on fire. He started a great precedent. He started something crazy.
And speaking about her, Taraji P. Henson and Monique.
Love her. Love Monique. See, she's
definitely. I'm a big
Huh? She's losing weight.
Oh yeah, definitely. I see her working out on her Instagram. Mm-hmm. So did you watch the interview with Monique and not Monique? Taraji, where she talked about that she wanted to quit because she's not getting the same amount of money mm-hmm. as her white counterparts. Wow. And then I want to talk about the Monique interview, but before we jump into that, I just want to say, like, with Taraji, I think it's just about the people you have in your circle. Like, because I saw her, I watched her on Benjamin Button. I think she definitely did her thing as a supporting actress. Even though the movie was about Brad Pitt, she did her thing. But after doing that, she should have gone into like the seven figures, getting those roles and things like that. But I just think it's just like, if you don't have the right people around you that know how to negotiate, you know, how to put stuff like that, like, hey, Taraji needs a car to get around, we need to put that in a contract. Or if you can't put that in the contract, you know, let's add a little bit more to her or her fee just to get that, you know, in there. Mm-hmm. Like, I know if I was there, if the producer saying, oh, we don't have that in the budget, there has to be different things within that whole budget to say, hey, can we get this, this, and this? If you don't have money for the budget, if you don't have money for a car, isn't there an expense for travel or whatever?
Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, standard. That's very standard, even for people like me. You know, those things are mentioned in contracts. So for her, someone on her level, that should have been included. So I don't know what's going on her end. There's some disconnect. There's a disconnect going on because that's not common for someone of her level.
Of her level, exactly. And then a couple of actors and actresses basically said, like, I think Terry Crews basically said it best. Like, whenever he picks something or chooses something, he knows what the dollar value is. And then he accepts it, but later on he's not gonna complain about it because, mm-hmm. you know, he knew what the payment was or he knew what it is. So when I hear about what's going on with Taraji, and I'm just like, who do you have around you, or mm-hmm. don't you have people that could crunch basic numbers? It's just like I don't know. Mm-hmm. What's your thoughts?
No, that I 100% agree with that. That's something you as an actor, like, once, well, she doesn't have an Oscar, but like, and the same thing applies to Monique too. But she's been fighting for that. So I love that about Monique. But once you get to a certain level, you have to start negotiating. You have to start demanding. And because I haven't heard about like Denzel. I don't want to like say he doesn't complain, but we've never heard him talk about the pay discrepancy. I don't know if you have or not, but I don't hear it a lot from him or like Morgan Freeman or Samuel L. Jackson, unless I missed it. I don't know.
I've never heard anything about them complaining about pay. Mm-hmm. Even like Angela Bassett, she's up there. I never heard her complain about.
He probably just pay. Isn't saying it though. But that's what we kind of do also think about. A lot of them probably don't want to talk about it or say anything. Like even when they interview Vivica Fox and they asked her opinion, she kind of just brushed it off and kind of responded in a more like uplifted way. Like, I know I never had a problem, but we all know Vivica's not getting paid even close to what Taraji is. So Taraji right now is a big star. It just is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, but I think a lot of them are kind of afraid to discuss that because they don't want the backlash. They also don't want to get blackballed. So I pray for Taraji because we don't know what might happen in the future for her when it comes to getting booked.
Yeah. And also Monique, she spilled her tea when she went on the Shannon Sharp podcast. I could somewhat understand her situation because she's coming brand new into the industry. Mm-hmm. She's not gonna know how to kind of negotiate for doing her first show. Like, I think she said she never auditioned for it, but what was happening on the back end that I guess whatever production company or whatever company owes her like back pay. But again, the money she got paid for it, I personally think that was pretty decent for somebody just coming into to acting and doing their first show.
Right.
Did you hear about it? What she was making?
No, I actually did not.
So I think the total number from what she was making from the Monique show, again, it could be wrong. I think she made somewhere within 1.2 for the entire run of the show. So I could be wrong. I'm not 100% sure on the numbers, but.
And not any seasons? Was it like 5 seasons?
I think it was like 5 seasons, yeah.
Well, if you bring that up, that's not really a lot per episode.
No, it's not really a lot, but definitely for somebody coming into acting during their first show, I don't expect it to be that much. But
the whole season, the whole run, like from season 1 to 5 or season 1 to 6, like after the first season, great. I understand that. You test them, you test their valuability, their value. And then the second season is like, okay, now you got to up the price. I mean, that's what Friends did.
Yeah.
When Friends came out, we didn't really know those actors either.
Exactly.
By like the 6th season, they were making $1 billion an episode. They fought for that too. They came together. They went
there.
Whomever raises their pay, and they got it. They got it done.
Yeah. And also, I've heard about other actors, like if they, for instance, the Lord of the Rings saga, the actors who played the Hobbit,
the short guy,
he died, didn't he? They didn't get paid.
Didn't he die?
Which
with the curly hair?
Not Gandalf, the smaller hobbits, those little hobbits.
You said Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I get them mixed up with Game of Thrones. I'm sorry.
It's okay. But even so, I think the situation that I heard is that they didn't get paid as much as they wanted, but they got paid on the back end after they got paid either gross or net, something to do with however, you know, millions the movies made, they got paid on the back end. So there's a lot of, I just feel like when it comes to negotiation and kind of fighting for ourselves, it's just one of the things that we don't know how to do. Cause I learned from an early point in my career, you got to know how to talk and negotiate for yourself.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that hiring manager is not going to tell you what you're supposed to be paid.
No.
And unless you, you know, speak up and say, hey, this is what I'm worth for my time.
Yeah.
If you don't have the money, then you're not going to have me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like, when we look at these actresses as something that we're supposed to kind of look up to, but find out, you know, they can't negotiate for their own bag. It's just like, again, the wool being pulled over our eyes and they just can't, you know, talk or negotiate for themselves.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like they do have people for that though. So I don't know how often Taraji, for example, was put in a position to negotiate for herself. There's always someone there for her who probably knows the verbiage a little bit better to do that for her.
Yeah.
Maybe they just didn't do a good job. And I don't want to make this like a black or white thing or whatever, because I know we got some haters that like to come and roll their eyes when we say that, but it's just the reality of things. They're not running to increase the pay for black women specifically. They're not running. Okay, they're taking their sweet old time. and they're having coffee in between and they're taking a nap. Like, you have to pull some teeth, because Viola Davis also talked about it. She's another one that has talked about it. You know, she didn't shed tears. So, and she didn't draw so much attention to it, but she always said it. They always say, well, I'm as great as Meryl Streep. They paint me like Meryl Streep. And she's correct. Yeah. She has an Oscar. She's a renowned actress, a brilliant actress, very talented.
Yeah.
Why aren't they getting paid? The moment you win an Oscar, your value immediately goes up. It's inevitable.
Exactly.
So where's the disconnect? What is happening?
But even the fact that she has, you know, Benjamin Button under her belt, she's starring next to Brad Pitt. So I'm scratching my head and I'm like, how are you going into these meetings not demanding as much as possible? Even if they don't have the budget, you should be able to say, okay, if you don't have this, what's on the back end that we could use to compensate for, you know, the money up front? I mean, I don't know the whole movie industry lingo, but I feel it's just the same as within the tech industry. Like, hey, you can't pay somebody that salary up front, but there's enough incentives behind the scenes, or there's, you know, there's deals behind the scenes you can make to compensate for what's not being made up front.
Right.
So, yeah. So I'm just like scratching my head. Like,
yeah.
You pretty much did your thing on that, you know, Benjamin Button. You starred next to Brad Pitt. After you did that, with that on your resume, you shouldn't be going into any deals where you're complaining about, you know, you're making the money you're supposed to make. So, and then even with Viola Davis, you know, I'm sure, yes, in the beginning, there was a lot of, she had to take this, but as soon as she got that Oscar, hey, value goes up, you know?
Mm-hmm. So. And I noticed that it was after the Color Purple that, you know, she was discussing this, Taraji as well. So clearly something happened on that set and the contract, where it caused her to start talking about it too, because I don't think I've heard her talk about it prior to The Color Purple. There was a lot of speculation as well, but about the nature of the relationship between her and Oprah. And because we saw it, I don't know if you saw the video where it was such awkward, like, tension between them when they were, I think they were on like this in New York. It's very clear something is going on between those two.
Yeah. But even doing an iconic show like that, I don't understand why. Well, I don't know. I'm not looking at the numbers, but she should have got something decent for doing, you know, the remake to Color Purple. But when she did, I think when she did Proud Mary, but again, Proud Mary didn't really make that much money in the theaters. So, but she's, I've heard that she's been talking about this for a while, but again, it's just knowing your value. And if you don't have that right people in your corner to kind of fight for you, it's just like, what's the point, you know? So, that's just my two cents.
No, I agree with you. You know, I don't have anyone in my corner to fight for me. Put me on a nice little piece of show. It's all me. Everything I'm not losing is all me. But it's all right. Though. You live and you learn. I'm grateful.
But still, you learn that you have value. So you're, as soon as your resume gets, you know, more and more, you're doing more and more work, you know that your value is getting greater and greater. So you definitely have to ask for more, or even if you do something to kind of help a friend out, there's still stuff on the back end where you could compensate yourself, you know?
Yes, absolutely. So, I had this conversation with another friend too. Like, he had an issue with, I think, people asking for pay. And I say, I don't. I say, you need to ask for what you think you're worth. I do not do projects unless it's for a friend and there's something great that will happen, or I benefit from it in some way, shape, or form. But I no longer do projects where I'm not at least getting paid. whether it's enough for in gas money, travel, transportation, whatever. I need some type of compensation. My time is not free, and exposure and free meal does not pay the bills.
True, definitely true. But you know, even if you do something, do a favor for a friend, there's still something on the back end where you could, you know, get the points or whatever.
Yeah, that's different. We're gonna write a contract. Yeah. Okay, we're gonna have a whole sit down. Yeah. I'm saying, like, people who I don't know, exposure don't pay the bills.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, man. I don't know. It's just like we don't have no positivity out there.
We're off the day. It's crazy. Positivity.
Exactly. Positivity. It's not out there. It's just like, and then when we look at other cultures, they're just taking this and just run with it, running. Like, I know, I think what's right now in Japan, there's a whole big hip hop culture. Mm. And from what I'm seeing, they respect the culture more than we do. So, but I don't know. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, like, everyone has their own interpretation, though. So, like, they don't have to make it degenerate. You know, I'm sure they found ways to kind of have fun with it and not be disrespectful. So,
yeah,
they have a huge reggae space as well. Like, they love Jamaican music. Dancehall is crazy.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I've seen them out there. You know, they got their dreads, and you know, they speak the lingo.
So. Try to speak the lingo, please. I need to hear it. Because if you sound like Safari, you're gonna have a problem.
But yeah, this was a good episode. You know, before we wrap it up, what's going on with you? What you got going?
Absolutely nothing. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. No, I've just been working. I'm working on some certifications as well in the IT area. Nice. But I won't say much on that because I don't want to get no jinx. And I also actually have I just posted it on my Instagram. Like, I don't post anymore. I feel so weird, but I just posted, like, my first post in over a year on Instagram. Like, that's how bad it is. I have a movie screening in next month, May 11th. It is happening somewhere in the Philadelphia area. But it's on my IG. I'm Miss Green 819. That's MSGREEN 819 on Instagram. So if anybody wants to go and just take a look, if you're in that area, feel free to buy a ticket. However, they're about to be sold out. So I will say that they're about to be sold out. So that's what's
nice, nice.
And I also have another project, a redo of this movie. I am the lead. And they rewrote the contract. Nice. Hello?
Nice.
And nice. It's a horror movie. I love that. I'm ready for that.
What? Okay.
Yeah.
Do you die off before the movie starts?
No, I'm gonna kill everybody.
No.
Before the movie starts.
Okay.
I get everybody. Nice. My character, at least.
Nice. That's good. That's good.
So I'm really excited.
So are we gonna see these on Netflix, or
you're going to theater? I have no idea where they're gonna end up at. I know this particular film right now is in we're screening in a theater, and I don't know where it's going after. But I'm 100% sure it's gonna be on streaming platforms. And you're like your most popular ones these days, Tubi. Y'all, please stop sleeping on Tubi. Yeah. Yo, Tubi is literally like Netflix. I don't care what nobody say, and Tubi's gonna start charging y'all like Netflix in the next 5 years. Remember, I said this today on this podcast.
Uh huh.
So.
But Tubi is not.
Tubi's what?
I don't want to give it away.
Tubi's what?
Tubi's team. They're not. They're from a different culture. So
what does that got to do with me or anybody? You talking about white people?
No. What they're culture? They're majority owned.
What culture?
They're majority owned by a a lot of Arabs out of, I think, either maybe Dubai or somewhere.
Okay.
But majority of the management team is pretty much overseas from the Arab nation.
So, and what about it?
I don't know. I just see a lot of black content on there.
Listen,
but again,
we already discussed this. We are not making our own to be a 2B. So if you can't beat them, join them. It just is what it is.
I get it. I totally get it. But we can make our own.
So then why? How long have we been saying we're going to make our own? How long have we been saying this? And where is it?
We've been saying that for years, to be honest.
And I had a friend who was an African male. He was trying his hardest to create something, and he would always employ black folks, but it just would never connect. It would never. And then he eventually kind of abandoned that organization. So he's now in a different state doing something totally unrelated to filmmaking.
Yeah.
He does want to come back, but he does have gripe with black people not being able to work together. They try, but you need a team. You can't do it by yourself. You need a team.
You know exactly. What I
mean? And if you need a team. You can't work together, then it falls apart.
Exactly. Total 100% on that. 100%. I'm just saying, like I said before, other cultures are taking our drama and running with it.
They're smart. They know how to work together. The common goal or the common interest is money. Like money,
yes.
So they know how to work together to make the money. We like money too, but we don't like to get it together. We like to get it for self, because everyone is on this mission to be the next billionaire, to get their ass sucked and glorified and praised, because that's what they all want, just be praised.
Yeah.
That's why I don't look up to the Jay-Z's. I don't look up to the Beyonce. I don't look up to none of those people, because what are y'all doing for the community? What are y'all doing? The only person that,
nothing.
Only celebrity that I would trust that was really trying, in my personal opinion, I think is that guy. It's that guy.
Who?
Y'all can't see him? Y'all can see that guy? Okay.
Okay.
He was trying. He actually owned a half of a white corporation. He actually owned more. He owned 51%.
Oh, that's a lot.
Yeah, but hello? And look what they did. They were so pissed off at that. You know what I'm saying? But like he was actually trying. And I know people have their opinions on this man. Listen, I won't fight y'all. Don't start with me and Michael. But like he was really was buying up catalogs for black artists who couldn't afford. He was buying up their masters and giving it back to them. Gifting it back to them.
Nice.
We need more of him, is what I'm trying to say. We need more of that. We need more black folks who actually own stuff and not lying about it.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm off my soapbox, though.
But, no, it's definitely good. Like I said, you're doing your thing. Definitely pleasure having you back on the podcast. And I'll be checking out those projects that you're doing.
Thank you.
I'll see if they're on anything else other than Tubi. But
listen, I only said Tubi because that's what I can think of right now. I'm sure it's probably going to be on Amazon. Plenty of other streaming platforms. I just don't know. They haven't disclosed anything yet. That's all.
Okay. Definitely. You know, but definitely good having you back on the pod.
Yeah.
Definitely a pleasure.
Likewise, you know, I enjoyed this conversation as well.
Haters are definitely gonna get in those comments.
I don't care. We can fight. I don't care. You're gonna be talking to a wall or your phone screen, but I don't care. I said what I said. That's it.
All right, Kenesha. Definitely good.
All right, Marvin. Thank you. Bye, everybody. What do you call your fans?